So you know, we all in jest say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this. Not that I actually think that God works that way. But one question I'm going to ask God is, why don't the rest of us ever get an angel messenger to invite us to do some of the hard stuff in our lives that God invites us to be a part of, right? Rather than just fumbling around trying to figure out how to make do with life's decisions unfolding before us. Sometimes the stories in the Bible seem to be so clear and direct, just so easy to know what God wants us to do or how God wants us to respond because God speaks so directly. When life throws curveballs, during those times of confusion, of frustration, and even those with pain, it would often be helpful if God just showed up with a clear answer to a precise question. Anybody else ever feel like that? Yes. One of those times in my life was when Jason and I found out we were having twins. I know. It was super wonderful, right? But given when it happened, we were not one of those people who always wanted to have twins. It was only my first year at a new job, 6 months in, actually. And that job was already off to a rocky beginning. And Jason was having spinal fusion surgery. We had no idea what the future had held for him in terms of work or what implications of having another child, let alone two, would be. So we looked up to the sky and we said, really, God? Really? I mean, we laugh about it now and have two beautiful children. But at the time, it was like, oh, direct message would have been nice. From generation to generation, we may not always have that explicit request or an answer from God, but we do have the voices of those whose values and stories can inspire our own decisions. And Joseph's story is one of those. Joseph thought he knew what was going to happen. I'm not sure he even needed God to say anything to him. The Jewish law dictated to him what he was able to do with this young, pregnant woman to whom he was betrothed. Joseph was a virtuous man of faith who was going to do the right thing by not publicly disgracing Mary, as the law actually allowed him to do. Rather, he was going to discreetly let her go. The law allowed her to be put to death as an adulterous woman. But that was not the action Joseph wanted to take. He was going to be kind and quiet about things, letting her go down to some other town or city to start anew and to have a child. Because Joseph was charitable and righteous, as the text describes him, he thought he knew what he was supposed to do. He wasn't going to stain his own reputation or his own future. But then God spoke directly to him in a dream. God wanted him to completely change directions, to shift from a normative, dogmatic response to take a giant leap in another direction. God wanted him to trust the path laid out, to marry this young woman, and to raise the child as his own. Probably one of the least known of all of the players of Jesus' birth, and yet the one in a male-dominated world who was probably at the time the most public figure, the one with the most to lose, the one who had to stand by a woman pregnant with a child that was not his own. With Joseph being the one who was the descendant, however, of King David, of whose line the Messiah was to come, God wanted Joseph to adopt Jesus, in order that Jesus would fulfill the word of the prophets. Immediately before the story, we have the genealogy of Jesus, which we heard from Bill a couple of weeks ago. And it makes the connection, if you were reading from the beginning of chapter 1, that connection would have easily been made had we then moved on to this story of Joseph. Jesus' roots start with Abraham, way back. And they travel all the way through the story in the Old Testament. And this genealogy names Jesus as the son of Joseph. It is Joseph's line that makes the fulfillment possible. So while Mary is pregnant with the Christ child, it is only by Joseph's union with her that all the various pieces of the prophecy of the Messiah coming through the Davidic line can come to fruition. It is only through adoption that God comes to be with us. We often think of Joseph as a meek man, just following beside or behind the donkey, right? That's how you all have your crushes set up, carrying the very pregnant Mary. But really, Jesus could not be the Messiah without Joseph. Sometimes the odd partnerships in God's plan don't always appear to make sense, but God always seems to make a way. And interestingly, this is the birth narrative in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew, there is no manger. There are no angels appearing with shepherds singing In Excelsis Deo, just Joseph, the man connecting Jesus and Mary to the Davidic lineage, the one whom we often gloss over played a critical role in the salvation of the world. Joseph's short, brief, and overlooked story paves the way for the rest of us. The passing on of faith from generation to generation, the lineage of Jesus is passed on to us, like the story of Joseph, through our adoption as God's daughters and sons. Love made visible and real is a miracle that keeps happening through us. We so often, during these times of rapid change, yearn for a return to the normal, to the way things have always been, to what we know. Yet here, in this story, we are shown that even in God's story, there is no normal. There is the humility of Joseph with the ability to listen with his heart to the call of God to lead him onto a path that he knows not the ending to, only that God invites him there. God came among us, and God is still among us, asking us to do unlikely things just like Joseph, to become vessels of God's grace and love, to overcome the disgrace the world would like us to live with, and to choose a better way. It takes extreme courage and deep humility to see God's path and to do more than just peek down the curve in the road. Just as Joseph was able to adopt the Christ child in order that God would be with us, so our adoption as God's children ties us to this great story. A story that doesn't actually exist without us, without you responding, acting as Joseph did to change direction if needed, to live out God's yearnings for our world. To be a vehicle of grace and love, we must be willing to modify directions because we know God is calling us there and this way has been trod by generations before. We stand on their courage and on their love. To follow God's way, Joseph shows us, is about adopting others into your community, of seeing others around you as your family, as a part of the story God has given to all of us. To be part of the community of faith is to be adopted into a journey with a family you love through the frustrations, the differences, and the grief as we discern God's call to live and be together. These people in the biblical story are our ancestors of faith. Like them, wherever we find ourselves, we are waiting to be delivered from our sense of God's absence in our time to a place where we know that God is with us. This doesn't necessarily mean it will be a place of certainty when and where we know the whole story. Instead, it will be a place where we will be invited to respond to what we see in front of us with righteousness that does not seek to disgrace and to even change direction when the new information enables us to see more than we could before. We are part of the story. It is our story. From generation to generation, it is the story that shapes our lives, the story that changes our lives, the story that invites us to step out of duty, out of comfort, out of the way things are supposed to be, and into the realm of grace and of love. Jesus came among us to save us. And in order for that to have occurred, God invited Joseph to change directions and to follow an unlikely path. May we have the humility and the courage to do the same when God calls us.